Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Don't forget, coming up at 9:20, that's not that far away, you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Caps take on the Canadiens in a potential closeout game this Wednesday, April 30th at Capital One Arena. Just listen for your cue to call at 9:20, and you'll be going to the game for free. That's the way we do things around here. So keep listening for your chance to win. I believe joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. John, good morning. How are you?
What up, fellas? I'm good.
You rested up a little after the 3 days?
Well, it's really kind of like 4 days, because like Sunday with the RFK stuff and
all right,
kind of added to a little bit of the day, and then up and out at about 5:30 yesterday morning for everything yet downtown. So it was a long, productive weekend for this franchise.
Hey, we'll get to the RFK thing, but were you surprised that we were just kind of talking about it? Were you surprised Adam didn't trade out of a couple of those spots to gain more selections?
Only a little bit, because I knew what you know with Adam, he's clearly a best player available guy. If there's a guy that you really like, you're going to sit there and take him.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's four guys you like, you can maybe trade back. And then, then it depends on what are they offering. If they're only offering like a late round pick, like it's not worth it. You know, if you can get like another third or a fourth, well, that's a little bit different. But I don't think that was the case.
Right.
So
right.
In that scenario, no, I'm not surprised. And plus, what I knew is they wanted to improve their offensive line. They wanted to get another offensive lineman. So if you have a guy that you really like sitting there, and you're not sure if dropping back, if that guy's going to be, and if there's a gap between him and the others on your board, you take that guy. That's how you make yourself a better team. And if you feel good about that guy, you don't need, the extra picks are lottery tickets, right? So if you feel good about this guy here, don't overthink it. And I think that's kind of what happened. But I don't think they had an offer where it's going to be like, oh my gosh, you just turned down an extra third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anything was like that. I think it was like late round picks.
And I think also, I kind of said before that I wouldn't be surprised if they stuck with him, because they did so well, I thought, sort of in the offseason, filling out needs that,
right.
What's the big difference between five picks and like maybe a couple seventh rounders? And is there a big difference between an undrafted free agent and a seventh rounder? I don't know that there is.
In this draft, I don't think there is a big difference. And what you'd hear from teams is that like the sweet spot in this draft was like rounds 2 through 5. And so
right.
When you get to 6 and 7, you have a lot of guys who are staying in college because of NIL money. So you're getting guys that maybe in the past, and not in all cases, but you didn't have the same depth in those rounds that you may have had in other years. So, yeah, I think part of what helped them is knowing that they had 9 draft picks last year plus a couple undrafteds make it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you combine these two classes, well, now the average is what? You have 14 draft picks over the 2 years. That's an average
plus
amount, right?
Plus, obviously, so if you look at it and you add Debo and Tunzel, who they traded for,
right.
I mean, they're like picks.
Right.
So,
and Lattimore was the other trade, too, that they used picks for. So,
yeah,
like you have to – all that's taken into account. And I think while it would have been good to have other picks, I think it's better to get guys that you really like.
Right.
And not like, again, if there's like – if it had been Connolly and multiple other tackles there or guards or whatever, that they say, well, we like all three of these guys equally. One of them is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if I think with Connolly, like he's a guy that there were some teams that in their understanding were ready to move up for him or take him higher in the draft. So knowing that, then you stick to your board and you pick it and you don't overthink it.
Yeah. So from my perspective, just being, a diehard fan, but I'm not like some college football guru. I know these guys. Love the first 2 picks. It wasn't like I'm some genius on Connor. I didn't even know the guy. I know you, though. You had him on your radar because I listened to one of your pods, and you said I had three guys, and you know, maybe you had taken Harrison and not the hint. But anyway, he was on your radar.
Yes.
Now, was that on your own, or did you get intel?
I knew that there was definite interest here.
Okay.
And I knew that they wanted to improve the offensive line. And the other guy that I really had on my radar went higher was Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So like that was another guy that had he been there, but of course he went much higher. And but yes, you know, so I knew all that. And he also fits a lot of what they want. He's an athletic tackle. He can move. They like pulling the guards and tackles, so you know, blocking out in space, et cetera. But I just, it started with the knowledge that one, I knew they had interest, and two, I knew that they wanted to improve that offensive line some more and really, really build a wall in front of Jaden Daniels.
So, so I love that because just from researching from afar, you know, I was like, wow, these guys could both go in the first round. I actually, in my little mock picked Trey Amos in the first round. And one of them that we had done. So I love those two. And then I have to say like in last year, like all those guys, I think made the team and, you know, if they were healthy, a lot of them made contributions. But I remember when they made those selections, I didn't necessarily, it didn't make sense to me at the time, maybe based on position or whatever. Ended up working out, right? This go around, I just loved them from the jump. Like, all of them, I love, okay, this I see what they're doing here. This guy's got speed. Yeah. I see what they're doing here. This guy's got size or whatever. Like, it all just makes sense to me from afar.
I agree, and I think for sure, and it's funny, I was telling someone else almost the same thing last night, like the picks make sense.
Yeah.
For what they, for not just, you know, for the style they want, for who they are, and for what they're looking to develop. Because, you know, the linebacker from UCLA is, he's going to be a, you know, he's the guy who can run. He can play a hybrid role for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to have a bigger guy in that role. Whether or not he plays right away on defense, I mean, sixth round pick. But he can help on special teams, too, because he's a bigger guy who can run, right? You know, he makes sense. Jalen Lane makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had some speed. He's also, he could be a little bit of a gadget guy for Cliff Kingsbury. Like, you know, at Tech, he was, you know, a lot of reverses, end rounds, you know, quick throws, whatever, get him in space. But he can help you, but he helps you as a punt returner right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so even the running back, very physical, runs with violence. You know, there are obviously a couple things. You're not, I'm not, we didn't see him against high level competition, but he was productive, right? And I think he gives you at least a little bit more depth there. And possibly with him, the one thing I wonder, like if he had played all year in Arizona, does he go higher? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So do you get better value out of him? Because that it would have been, you know, I think going into this, the two areas I felt for sure they would get with running back, offensive line, and but I wasn't sure if they would get one, maybe running back a little bit higher with a little bit, you know, different change of pace stuff. But I think what you just need are more good players. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, but I agree with you. I think they all make sense. I think you can see a role for them, whether it's right now or down the road, because it's hard to get your six-round picks and seven-round picks don't typically come in and contribute right away.
Right, right.
But if you can develop them, then you're good. And that's, you know, the more guys you can get in there that you can do that with, that you feel you can do that with, the better off you become.
John, can you speak to how important relative athletic score is as a metric to Adam Peters and his staff? And for people that don't know what that is, it's a measurement of a player's athletic testing in relation to both size and historic results, because all five of the guys that they drafted scored high relatively in that metric.
Yeah. And same as last year too. The lowest last year was Mikey Samristil, believe it or not. So he was the only one under nine last year. So yeah, I think it's, I mean, this is an athletic sport and it's the change of, it's the quickness, it's the change of pace stuff. It's, you know, the 40 time is great, but very rarely is anybody just running a straight 40 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So everything else is about, you know, the quick movement, quick bursts, and explosive. It measures explosiveness as well. And so I think, like, that's what you're looking for, those kind of guys. So, you know, I think it's, you know, I mean, it is very important, but it's just, it measures. It's hard to, it's always hard to measure football traits because you got to put on the film. Like, you want to, if the guy has a high RAS score and he doesn't play well, there's an issue. But if he's playing well and he has that, then you got a guy who can probably translate to the league, right? Because that's what this game is. I mean, if you're a corner, it's the 40 time is important. You know, you can't run slow, but if your short area quickness is very good, then that's what they're looking for, because so, it's the breaks on the ball. It's
for,
you know,
sure,
it's change of pace, you know, change of direction, et cetera. It's all that stuff that is really more equal to football movement.
All right, so they took one undrafted free agent that they signed and one that they drafted. You know, the kid from Virginia Tech, whose scores are like, you know, his testing is off the charts, but looks like right. He's going to be more of a return guy. Could you see a role for him, though, as a receiver? Because that kind of speed, though, can take it to the house.
Yeah.
But then they signed Ja'Cory Brooks, who people may remember from Alabama. I don't know if they saw what he did at Louisville, but who is not like a test freak, right? I think he ran like a 4.6, 4.7, something like that. But he's got a bigger guy who can make some contested catches, which is, you know, played it on a big stage. He's a very intriguing prospect to me.
He is, and the hard part at receiver will be they do have good depth there, so you can have a guy like that on practice squad.
Okay.
Assuming he doesn't, you know, just have this wow type of training camp, right?
Right.
Otherwise, that's a great guy to develop, right? You know, we've seen other guys here who have done that. Take a chance on a big guy you can develop, right? With Lane, you want to find a way to use a 4-3 guy on your offense.
I agree.
So, you know, and it's not like he's an undrafted late round guy. He's a fourth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things I would feel pretty good about is Cliff Kingsbury will find a way to get a couple packages to include him. I just don't think it makes sense otherwise because of the threat it provides. And it wasn't like at Tech that he was just always going straight down the field, right? It's not just running a bunch of go routes. You can use that speed in different ways, and you can stretch the field horizontally as well, just by you know, the way you use them in motion, some of the reverses, the jet sweeps, whatever it is, you can stretch it horizontally as well as vertically. But you stretch it horizontally, and now let's say you have, you know, Terry on one side, Deebo Samuel coming over the middle, this guy running the like a little jet going out to the flat. The defense is going to have to honor that, maybe, right? In theory, on paper, that maybe it stretches the middle open a little bit more for Deebo. You know what I mean? So, like, there are ways that speed can trickle down to help other people as well. So you would be doing a disservice not to find a way to get speed on the field. How much he plays, I don't know, but, man, it just wouldn't make sense otherwise.
Talking to John Keim from ESPN.com, covers the Commanders for them. He joins us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. All right, so you wrote about the scene at the National Press Club yesterday, the announcement to move the Commanders to RFK. What were your impressions overall of Josh Harris and everything that went down yesterday?
I mean, it was a pretty cool moment for the franchise in the city, you know, and like it's been a long time coming. And to be honest, it was a little bit surreal because every time something like this happens, you keep thinking back like 2 years ago, could you ever have envisioned what's transpired, you know, like to get where they are and then to strike an agreement with the city to get back to RFK. I mean, a couple of years ago, there was like if you had to divvy up the percentages, it was 20-25% that they'd get back here. And then it kept slowly inching up. And then when Harris took over, it goes up more. And then with what happened in December and getting the provision in there, then it shoots up to like, it's almost not a lock, but it was pretty darn close. So, you know, it was just surreal. And I think, there's still work to be done because you have to get the DC Council's approval, and that's, I don't know how easy that's going to be, but you know, I think it was a good moment for the franchise in the city. And there are a lot of people who are excited about it. And, you know, I think it was kind of surreal.
For
fans, it is too, because like they've come so far so fast.
And you know this as well as anybody. The previous regime was trying to do this, and I guess they just never had a shot.
They had no chance. No, they had no chance. And I know you guys talked to Mayor Bowser today, and I talked to her in December, and she basically said, like, you know, Josh Harris coming in changed this process. And that's a paraphrase, but he did. You know, people did not want to be to work with Dan Snyder. They wanted to be associated with him. And they knew it was trouble and it was never going to get done. And so when Josh Harris came in, it changed everything. But when you're around the people that they've hired, Mark Klaus, the president, just the people they bring in, it's just a different level, right?
But Snyder would have never put up $2.7 billion.
Didn't have it.
Well, he didn't have it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, but even if he had it, I don't think he would have put it up. He wouldn't put up his own money.
No, well, you got to get a bigger yacht too. Don't forget.
Yeah. Hey, John.
I don't think. But he would. I don't. And even if he, you know, Josh Harris is gonna. It's not like he's got. You know, he didn't write a check for that, right? You've got to still raise the money, and you know, the more. I don't know. I think some people have a better ability to do so, and I think Josh Harris does. And so, no chance. For a lot of reasons, there was no chance it was going to happen with Dan Snyder.
For sure. But what makes that press conference different than Ted's press conference in Alexandria?
And that's well, there's a couple, you know, I have some.
I could give you some, but I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I think there, well, one thing is, I think maybe, maybe they didn't read the Virginia political climate as well. Mm-hmm. And because like that was an instant, you know, there was going to be a problem here.
Yeah.
And so I think that was one. I think Mayor Bowser has shown the ability to get stuff done here.
Track record.
So I think it's because you're talking about different locales. It's not it's a sports team, but it's not the same state or same area. So, I would say this, until the shovel is going in the ground, I don't know what's going to happen, right? And so, but I do think there are differences. I think the other thing is, too, when you look at, this is what their pitch is going to be to the council. You look at this, like, what the Commanders are paying for the stadium. The city is not paying, you know, they're paying for the stadium. The city's developing other areas around there, the housing, et cetera. So, you know, there are no taxes being levied on the residents, et cetera. So that's going to be their pitch to them to see, like, this is not just public funds for a stadium here, right? So, you know, is that going to be successful? I don't know. But I do think there's a better chance of this happening here than there was of the Wizards staying in Virginia.
All right,
John, what do you think?
Oh, I thought there was a lot of things. I mean, for one, we had one of the residents.
I mean, Goodell was there. That made it pretty legit.
Well, I remember when the Alexandria thing went down, we had the resident, you know, one of the leaders that lived over there in that Delray neighborhood or whatever the hell it's called. And that guy, he was completely unfazed by it. He was like, it ain't happening.
It's not going to happen.
Trust me, it ain't happening.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think there's definitely way more of a chance of it happening here. I think it's the coincidence is the timing, but I don't think the situations are the same.
Right.
John, thanks as always. We appreciate the time. That's John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. He's on the Rude Guest Hotline. Thanks as always for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. We're going to take the ninth caller right now at 800-636-1067. What are you going to win? How about a pair of tickets to round one, home game three for the 2025 playoffs? With the Capitals taking on Montreal this Wednesday at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com. Ninth caller at 800-636-1067. You win.